Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And Dennis Allen now fired, only 3 seasons at the helm there in New Orleans. What else can you give us, and what are we learning more about this situation?
Yeah, a frustrating outcome for the New Orleans Saints, something that they absolutely did not want to happen, especially considering the start. They started 2-0, looked to be one of the best teams in the NFL, one of the most electric teams in the NFL. Instead, it was all downhill, unforeseen, unprecedented injuries. It all led to a 7-game losing streak and eventually the firing of Dennis Allen.
Yeah, that'll get you fired real quick. 7 in a row. And remember how they looked out of the gate? The Saints looked...
They were scoring.
I was like, it's the return of Alvin Kamara. Until it wasn't.
Dennis Allen is out. So... And I think the same goes for Luke Getsy and... The quarterback's coach is out. Most of the offensive staff.
Offensive line coach James Craig has been dismissed. As has quarterback's coach Rich Scangarello. Sorry.
Damn, Craig lost his job.
On a Friday? Well, no.
Yeah. See, that's weird in Las Vegas. Who's going to be coaching the offense now? They like fired all their guys.
I will answer that question momentarily.
But what this does do is it tells the league that this is coming open. It tells everybody around to say, hey, we're in the market. Because the calls, the text, staffs are getting put together now. Staffs are being put together. If you're going to do this, and they are, because if they don't, I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself.
Wait. If they don't what?
Blow everybody out of this Bears thing. It's over.
They would have to finish 10-7, and we know what that looks like.
Right. That
means you've done damage in the division.
But even then, we know that Eberflus is overmatched.
But is he overmatched, though?
Yes. He keeps making the same mistakes. No one's listening to him. He doesn't know how to handle end of half situations.
I offered that man an out because I know he's doing 2 jobs right now. Maybe if he's only doing 1 job, he's better. Maybe he's not, but at least give yourself a chance.
But the coaches might want to line up to come be in charge of the Caleb Williams thing here and be the guy.
Do they want to work with Ryan Poles? Who's their agent?
He sure seems to stay out of the way. Ha!
You laugh, but I'm serious.
Right. The Trace Armstrong Shadow Bears president.
I'm just asking.
And whatever happened to Kevin Warren? Whatever happened to that?
He's working on the stadium.
He's looking for the cranes in the sky. Cranes in the sky.
It's going to be a minute.
Keep on building.
The first quarter of 2025 is rolling up very quickly. We are in the last quarter of 2024. That's how I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about shovels in the ground, first quarter 2025, hey.
I don't think Poles has done a bad job. I think in rebuilding the roster, he's done fine. But when it comes to retaining Matt Eberflus, that was a mistake. That was a bad mistake, unless it was mandatory because people above him said do whatever you want except that.
We don't want to pay him.
Or because he goes to mass with Ginny every day. The usual Bears stuff about why people are kept in their jobs too long. Because they just don't like firing people because they get too close to him.
You have to hold yourself accountable not only as a player, a coach, a GM, front office, but as an ownership group. You have to say, this is what's acceptable and this is not. And that's why he is going to get fired at the end of the season. He is going to be dismissed because the wins won't be there. 3 years. This is all too familiar to me, just my time spent with one Brett Brown. Are you familiar with Brett Brown?
Brett Brown?
Brett Brown. He was a head basketball coach for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, I do remember.
He ushered
Brett
them through
Brown.
The process and yes. and they let him stick around when the team actually had talent on the roster.
Okay.
So when they had Jimmy Butler and company, And you remember Kawhi's famous shot that ended the series and, in effect, ended the tenure of one Brett Brown. They gave him a shot. Matt Eberflus is getting his shot right now with a talent-filled roster. 4-4 isn't it. You could argue getting to the playoffs isn't it, unless it's by way of a superstar defense and a growing offense. But the offense is stuck in quicksand right now. Not in the mud, quicksand. The difference is, in the mud, you're spinning your tires. In quicksand, you're sinking.
Matt Eberflus, whenever it's over, whether it's at some point in this season or immediately after this season, whenever it's over, I'm increasingly convinced that the end of his tenure will be defined by the way last week's game ended, by the Tyreek Stevenson meltdown and the Hail Mary and the entire week in response afterward that's still being talked about. Your 24-hour rule has now already gone into the post game of the next game. That's how we'll remember it. We'll say, oh, yeah, years at 20 years from now.
Because that was the last straw.
20 years from now. But it felt like it then, and it feels more like it now because of this performance. This was the stamp of validation of a coaching crisis.
And to your belief, he doesn't think he's in a coaching crisis.
I don't think so.
I think he does. I
don't know if he's aware enough.
If you're 4-4 and you were 4-2 and you realize that this is your third year and you haven't won anything yet, Dan, come on, man. That's a lack of self-awareness that I'm not prepared to say that he has shown me. He showed lack of self-awareness with the way he dealt with the post game after this infamous Tyreek Stevenson debacle. But also, he's had opportunities to get this team to bounce back. It didn't happen this week. But again, he gets another chance in New England, another bad team. It'd be different if they were playing the Packers this week, because everything would come to a head quickly.
I know, but we know better than to read too much into a win over the Patriots.
But that's what I'm saying. If they played the Packers this week and he found a way to beat the team that, when was the last time the Bears were out here beating the Packers?
That would be 2018.
Mm-hmm. That's a December long time 2018. Ago. That's a long time ago. That's a season defining win. Much like you're saying that loss was a season defining loss, either of the last two.
Yeah, I mean, you can name every coach has the moment you knew it was over. Every coach does.
Do you always know in the moment, though, or doesn't it take sometimes a little look back?
It does, but this is part of the look back. And that's why the performance this week, the performance yesterday, was so telling. So when we tell the stories about the Eberflus era, we'll talk about, when Tyreek Stevenson went all Leroy Jenkins on everybody, and that was that moment. Just like for Lovie Smith, it was probably that loss to the Texans when it was the final game of the season and they had the chance. That was that year, right? I'm trying to remember. There's the year that the guys, the West Virginia guy that we were talking about, Steve Slayton and those guys, there were, and he was 10-6, which is weird because he was 10-6.
No, that was a different year.
That was a different year.
The year he got fired, they went 10-6, and but they won their game, but they also needed the Vikings to lose, right? And the Vikings won, so they were out. The year you're talking about was a couple years prior, because I think that's before Cutler was here, like 2008. All they needed to do was beat the Texans in the last week of the season, and they lost. Yeah,
and it was for Trestman. There were two aspects for Trestman. It was the back-to-back 50 burgers. And it was the early field goal attempt against the Vikings.
I haven't heard any of that. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
For Matt Nagy, it was Cody Parkey.
And going to a further extent, the Browns game, Justin Fields' first start. That's when it was it for me.
Yeah, but it was. But really, we'll remember it being Cody Parkey. When all is said and done, This will be the Eberflus epitaph.
So then the 9-sack game for you, was it? Okay.
If we're talking about when I knew it was over for Nagy, when I personally was like, okay, this guy's got to go, it was the 9-sack game against the Browns. And then for Eberflus, it was yesterday.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.